Start the call. We're going to start the call now, and we're going to jump in. For those of you who are just joining us, we've got Solomon Masala, and we're going to talk about Solomon's background and all the cool things that he's experienced and accomplished. But before we do that, and before we talk about the Austin event and the details and what he's going to bring, and the unique experience that he's going to bring our families that are attending the Austin event, I want to just pay respect to Tatiana Vroman, who jumped on the call, and she didn't know how long she could be on, but she wanted to get on because she appreciated Solomon and wanted to bring some good energy to the call. And so for my first question for Solomon is, you know, just tell us about some of the experiences you've had when it comes to the importance of human connection and how something like as simple as Tatiana showing up on this call and paying respect to you, how that makes you feel. So kind of a two-part connection, you know, what have you seen in regards to the importance of human connection and how did that make you feel?
Sure. So thanks y'all. It's an honor to be on this call. And I know that people say that, right? Speakers always start off by saying, it's an honor, it's an honor. I'll say why it's an honor and then I'll answer the question. It's an honor because my understanding is that everybody on this call has a deep commitment to the wellness, functionality, and joy and fulfillment of family and relationships and connection. And so wherever people are gathered, because that's one of the core intentions, I'm there. And that's why it's an honor, because I feel like that's a core element to what it is that we need on this world, on this planet right now. So let me answer the question by, first of all, just saying how it made me feel. Love Tatiana. Whenever I get an opportunity to connect with her, there's always that beautiful experience of feeling connection that's meaningful. And then to know that she is here supporting, that's how I'll answer your question about the importance, because all of us have lived long enough at this point to have wisdom, not just knowledge. Let me break that down for you for a moment. When knowledge, anybody can get knowledge, right? You can turn on the Google, you can get yourself some knowledge. Wisdom is a lived experience of that knowledge. It means I have felt it, I've experimented with it, I have tapped in to see, hey, I see a person jumping on our call there over with Lindsay. I felt it, I've experienced it, I've explored, I know how it fits in my life experience, I know how I'm evolving with it. That's wisdom. So we all on this call have wisdom about the importance and the power of connection, right? What I want to say though is that the lived experience of connection, i.e. showing up, that's the part that I feel is the next step in it, because we all have a sense of how we feel when we have those kinds of connections. It's what do I do in my daily life to actually show up to those in a way that lets the other person feel, I got you. So by Tatiana getting on the call, that to me, that's the next step in this. That's the demonstration of it. Our lives get busy, our agendas get full, we've got survival needs, we've got business needs, we've got our personal processes happening. It's pausing all of those to say, this experience between myself and another person is important, and that's where I'm putting my life energy. And I feel like that's really what's next as far as the importance of connection and relationship goes. It's what am I going to do in my daily life so that I'm actually making that a priority and not just giving it lip service. I would say that that's one of the biggest things that is the learning for me in recent times around that. Would you like me to continue on that vein?
Well, I'll help you to continue by saying that you're speaking directly to what many of these families are coming to Austin for, which is to have a place that is dedicated to deeply connecting and showing up for their families. So the importance of the connection within the family, speak to what you've seen, you know, in the family system, in the work you've done, and how important it is for a family to make time to connect to each other.
Yeah. I'm going to write that question here so that I come back to it in a meandering way. Let me start by saying this. Where should I go with the science? Let's dive in here. I always use the phrase, I become the person I practice being. So if I was to ask each of you on this call, if you can think of something that you know you've gotten better at because you've practiced it, everybody could turn to their neighbor, the person in the room, and say, this is the thing I've gotten better. This is the way I've practiced it. And here's how I know I've gotten better, because I've been practicing. I've been putting time into it. And so I say that because that statement, I become the person I practice being, this is the foundation of the exploration of meaningful relationships, right? One of the people that I consider a mentor, his name is Dr. Joe Dispenza, does some amazing work. He always uses the phrase, neurons that fire together, wire together. And it's simply that. In our brains, I continue to make behavioral choices, and those neurons, that neurological connection, continues to deepen. It gets more myelinated. It gets richer in its ability to transfer information. So people talk about, you know, I get into mental loops or ruts or behaviors. This works either way, right? This works for the beneficial things that I want to practice. Those beneficial thoughts, those beneficial actions, those beneficial ways of being, those get wired together because they're firing together because of those choices that I'm making. And same with the degenerative. I'll use generative and degenerative a good bit. I like the way that expresses my experience. And so when I take time then to gather with my family, what I'm literally doing is I'm wiring and firing neurons, not only in my own physiology, but I'm doing that in the culture of my family. I'm saying to those younger ones, hey, this is important, and see how we're making the choice to do it. So then there's showing up in the process, all right, here we are. And then there's, what are the things that I'm doing in that experience that demonstrate that I'm actually present, that this has been put away and doesn't come out except for very strategic times, experience, right? Like, the deal is the dopamine that comes from, oh, I just got a text, or oh, I just got an email, that literally becomes something that we utilize as a substitute for the, hey, Brother James, I'm calling you on the phone to talk, or I'm knocking on your door, I'm going to my neighbor's house to say, you got some sugar? When I don't really need sugar, what I'm there for is just a relational connection, right? This has taken that dopamine experience that we have from meaningful connections and put it into this digital scenario. So I'm gonna get off that soapbox. We all get that. Let me come back to the point that I'm making is, when I'm in the first step of, here we are, we're making this time to be together as a family, the next step then is, what do I need to do so that I'm wiring and firing presence? So there is that feeling of, when my young person is talking to me, when my spouse or partner is talking to me, I'm right there. I'm listening. I'm considering what they're saying. I'm not off thinking about the business stuff or something else that I have to do. I'm right there in that moment in a dialogue that they can feel my presence. Now, this doesn't mean it's going to be a half an hour deep discussion dialogue. This could be 5 minutes, but that moment of presence, that's the gold right there. And of course, it could extend to half an hour, an hour. We know that when human beings gather around a fire, that feeling of it just kind of going off and timeless is part of that feeling of, I'm getting this deep nourishment back from meaningful connections, from an experience of tapping into that circle of humanity that uplifts me, that makes me feel good about being, right? And let me pause there. See if I've answered your question.
Yeah, I love it. Yes, and what have you seen? It's a two-part question. I'm going to ask the first one that might be a question that we all feel like we know the answer to. I'm curious of what your answer is. What does it mean to you to be a good listener? What are the factors that you consider when you're silently saying to yourself in your head, Solomon, be a good listener? What do you think? What are you working on doing in that moment?
I love it because that's how granular this stuff needs to get, right?
Right, yeah.
Any skill. So as you were asking me that question, which is great, so I'm here's what I've been practicing. First is I get the question. And then I'm listening not just to the words that you're saying, because you said a little bit more, is then I'm listening to the energy that you're bringing and the eye contact that we can have, even just through Zoom. And I'm allowing you to finish that question. So the first thing then for me is, all right, so let me just pause and let me digest that so that I can respond in a way that feels like it's not just shooting off the top of my head. The second piece then is being able to feel it somatically. What's the response that I have? That's not just what I call loaded gun listening, which is I'm just hearing your words and as soon as you're done speaking, bam, I'm jumping in, right? It's the somatic feeling of, okay, what do I know? And for all of us here, when I really know something, it's not just here, y'all. It's here, it's a full body experience. So what I know is that in my response to being a good listener, that's what I'm bringing, is that level of awareness. Watching the person, doing my best to feel and sense the impact that my response is having. And then parroting back, what you're saying to me is, what does it mean to be a good listener? So, did I get that right? Then I'm responding again from there. And then I ask the question, so did I answer the question, or does that make sense? Or I'm checking to see if the connection happened. So those are the elements that I would bring in. And those are all skills. Those are all practicable skills that, again, the more I practice them, the better I get at doing them.
Yeah, and how and when and where do you practice them?
Oh man, as much as I can everywhere.
Yeah, it's like it's almost training all the time, right? Like this is, it's, you don't turn this on or off. It's once you get going on it, I imagine if you're anything like myself, it turns into, you become an observer of everything that you're doing, and you can actually recognize where you're not being a good listener, and now you're doing a little extra work of trying to put that into a memory bank, so when now you have a chance to be a listener again, or a really great listener, that you can remember when you weren't, so that you can show up a little bit stronger, almost as if you never turn off the switch of being a good listener. It's always being practiced.
Well said.
Yeah, it can be. Well, I want to actually open it up. We've got a couple of amazing.
Questions. The place that I also practice and fail the most is with my family, right? Because that's the place where the physiology, the psychology of it is, that's typically, for most people, that's where we feel the most safe, right? That's where I should, and rightly so, feel like I have the most leeway and unconditional love, and it's the degenerative use of that, meaning I feel like I have all this unconditional love, so I'm just gonna kind of be a little bit more slack and not as cool as I could be. Those are the places where I start to break trust and break down those meaningful family connections. And so the place that I try to practice this the most is at home with my family, because that's the place it's easiest for me to stop practicing. And yet that's the place that it counts so much more. Like, how can I truly listen to my daughter? How am I truly listening to my wife, rather than I'm working on this thing and I'm going to just kind of hear her and I'm going to get back to the work thing? Or I have the phone sitting and I'm just, you know, as soon as somebody calls, I'm interrupting what's happening. Or I have it in my hand while I'm talking to a family member, rather than I put it away somewhere and in the conversation with the family member, I'm fully there, right? Like, those are the places that I'm really practicing it, especially with now parenting a teen, because the listening is so critical. Oh, it's so critical. It's more than the speaking. So go ahead. I know there's some questions
coming. Oh, man. I don't know if there's actually any questions. I wanted to offer it up to for Tyler and Emmy McCarthy, who are at least for me, they're in my bottom left-hand corner. Hey, Ty and Emmy. I wondered if you had any questions for Solomon. It could be anything that you could ever imagine asking. Solomon's ready to answer.
I will do my best.
No, Emmy's okay. Ty, any questions, buddy?
I don't think so.
Not to put you guys on the spot. Thank you for being on the call, guys.
Yeah, you are awesome for being on this call and for being on almost every call we've ever had. Tyler and Emmy, you are getting a gold star for participation in Learn and Grow calls, for sure. Emmy, can I get an air high five? One, two, three. That was good. Let's see. I just want to see if anyone else joined. Does anyone have any questions for Solomon?
Matt has a question.
Yeah, Solomon, how would you recommend for a family who's like, you know, maybe they feel like they struggle with listening to each other and want to start getting into this practice of being able to listen to each other? How would you recommend like maybe some baby steps to kind of kickstart the process?
So I think what I understood your question to be is in families who are wanting to deepen their skill, build more skill in this area, what would be some of the first steps, baby steps, I think, would you say, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Games around the dinner table. And one of the games to play is I went to the store and I bought a bottle of pineapple kombucha. And then the next person said, and this seems silly, right? And the next person says, I went to the store and I bought a bottle of pineapple kombucha and I bought a hoverboard. And then the next person has to keep adding on to that. That particular game is all about building the listening skills,
but also
strategies for keeping other people's information in my mind, which is part of the listening. It's not just the ear listening, it's the body listening piece, right? Is there some somatic way I can remember the hoverboard and the bottle of kombucha? Is there some image that's coming to my mind? And meanwhile, what I'm practicing is I got to be there. Because by the time it comes back around to me, there's probably four or three other things that have been added, and I got to remember them in sequence, and then I got to add my own, and we keep going. So that's one of the games.
Great. Give us another example or two. I'm writing them down.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Another example is, so what I heard you say was. So you have, you can actually find this online. I think it's the Jar of Questions. If you Google Jar of Questions, you'll find a website that has these really fun family questions. You can cut them up into strips of paper and put them in a jar and have them there and pull out one or two at the dinner table, right? So pull out the question, ask the question, somebody answers, and then somebody practices by saying, and they don't have to parrot back the exact words, but they say, so what I heard you saying was, and see if you got it. Right, and that gives the other person the opportunity to say, yeah, almost, or yes, you got it. That's another really great way to practice. And these are all games that we can play it's multi-generational in that process. So those are two ways to start the experience. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's really good. Those are, I think I've played those games at some point in time. They seem very familiar. Especially that I went to the store and all the different actual muscles that you're building while playing that game, the listening, the memorization, all that stuff is really great.
Ooh, let me share one more game. This one I've been really getting a lot of mileage up in our family. It's called, this is the game of concentration, no repeats or hesitations. Have y'all heard that one?
I have not.
Essentially, you start off by the whole family chants, or each person says, this is the game of concentration. No repeats or hesitation. Category is. So if you're playing it in a circle, each person says, this is the game of concentration. No repeats or hesitation. Category is. And whoever category is, the next person comes up with a category. So they may say fruit, and they start off by saying cherry, and then the next person says apple, and the next person says pear, and the next person says grapefruit, and it keeps going around with no repeats or hesitations.
Yeah.
And of course, if somebody repeats or hesitates, there's no big deal. We just laugh and we start it again. But that's another fun one to just cue in that presence and skill.
Awesome.
I feel like Solomon just gave us three awesome games to play with our JDLs at events.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt might already be using an iteration of one of those, but I know that the more of these games that we have and the more experiences that we can bring that aren't just one person talking at another person, mm-hmm. but that the skills are being learned inside of what seems to be a game or an experience that we have, going back to the science, we have a heightened integration of that information inside of ourselves. If someone's just talking to us and saying, you need to do this, you need to be a good listener, you need to be respectful, you need to make eye contact, you need to remember what people say, that when it's said that way, we only maybe remember 5 or 10% of it. But when we actually go through the experience of working with those principles and seeing those characteristics come alive in ourselves, the integration of living it takes that percentage up, which you could say the ROI on the time spent and the ability to actually like get something out of the experience goes up by 50-60%. So these games are brilliant. They're very important. You know, you could say they're brilliant. They're very important for us to be able to step into that next level of communication that you're talking about. These are really vital pieces to being able to communicate. If someone's phone is on right now, I'm hearing myself reverb. So if everyone can mute their lines, please. Or Matt, could you mute everyone's line except for Solomon's,
please? Yeah, everybody is muted. I'm going to mute myself, mate.
One more thing that I would add, Brother James, is that it's also okay to say, hey, we're going to play this because we're practicing being better listeners. And that the actual context of that is important rather than it being this hidden thing, because I'm then demonstrating This is a value that I hold. This is important for us as a family. This is important for me as a human being. And hey, I may be an adult, but I'm still practicing this, and I want to get better at it.
Every day I want to get better at listening. Every single day, it's one of those things I see inside of myself often, where I can see right after an experience or while I'm in it, I can be like, oh, I could have been a better listener. There's always that ability to improve and create more space for other people.
Totally.
So, hey, I want to transition from the idea of this family experience and the way that you brought in, you know, hey, this listening thing that we're going to be working on through this game, this is a value that we have. It's a really important value. And one of the things that we're going to be forming and shaping for these families at the Austin event is they're going to be creating their own family values. Hmm. So they're going to co-create as a family their family values. And that leads us into your participation in the Austin event. And tell us a little bit about what you're going to bring to the Austin event with your drums, your percussion, and what type of message you might connect us playing musical instruments to.
Sure. I love that. I just jotted down that note, co-creating family values. It's beautiful. So appreciate just spending time doing that. Those overt conversations really make a difference, y'all. So with respect to the interactive rhythm experience, there are so many beautiful elements that come together when humans make music together. Particularly rhythm, because it's something that, no cliche, y'all, we've been doing this for hundreds and hundreds of years for a reason. There's a reason that if you pick up a percussion instrument and hand it to a toddler, that they, without you even really telling them what to do, they know what to do on this instrument. It's also a social experience, just in the nature of the fact that we are creating this groove together. So a few of the inherent experiences or values or learnings that will come out of that have to do with that piece of very much listening to each other, so that I'm not playing on top of or over someone else, because we're creating this groove together. What are you playing, and how can I play something that's going to sweeten what it is that we're doing together, so that some of the parts is greater than the whole, so to speak. There's the piece about the voice that I have. My instrument sounds different than your instrument. how are we taking time to be able to hear all the various elements that are in the conversation, and I'll facilitate in such a way that we can tap into those and touch on those. There's also just the inherent value of fun, you know, music making and particularly community rhythm making is just fun. It's fun to jam, man. It's fun to get these instruments and the sound that we make and, you know, and what I love also about it is in the facilitated flow of it, it's not saying you have to play it this way. It's here's our community groove. How do we enliven the spirit of this, right? Because we could all just start banging away and that would be cool for probably about 30 seconds. What gets even cooler is all of a sudden you start dropping into that listening and that pulse and that heartbeat. So I'll be facilitating an experience for us to tap into that. If for nothing else, just the joy of connecting and building and creating together. And then, of course, all the other elements of it that I talked about.
Yeah, I find drumming and the experience you just described to be such a nourishing experience because it's one of the few experiences, especially as we all get locked into the pulse together, it's one of the few experiences where collectively, as human beings, we're all focused and feeling the same type of thing together.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes evident of how much we are empowered individually and collectively when we're all focused on a common purpose.
Yes.
So it's very special when we get 60, 70, 80 people in a room or in a circle, all participating not only in the same activity, also going for some sort of a purpose of making it sound good. Now we're all working towards something and we're being playful and having fun. Tell us about some of the groups that you've done this for. Like, so tell us about some of the groups and maybe tell us an experience that you had that you watched this create magic in the environment you were in for someone or for some group. Yeah.
So many to choose from. I want to back up real quick and I'll answer your question that one of the other things about not just that we're a community and we're a group and we're focused in on this one thing, I also get to express my individual and unique contribution to this thing. So I'm not just, you know, okay, everybody, we're all gonna just use the red crayon and draw here. It's, we're creating this amazing mandala of sound, and what are you bringing to it that's helping it feel like it's something that has coherence to it, right? That feels good to all of us. So we're at once contributing to the community. At the same time, I'm also allowing myself to bring forward my creativity.
Beautiful.
The experience that's popping into my mind now is I had an opportunity a few years ago to do a community interactive rhythm session just south of the Arizona border in Mexico, just south of Ajo, Arizona. And it was a community celebration day. And the way it started where there were a few performances, and then about a third of the way into the performances, they asked me to do the interactive rhythm piece. And we had set up, 20, 30 chairs. And this was happening in the middle of a square. So there were trucks going by over that side and traffic over here and foot traffic around and people stopping when the performances were happening and the people dispersing. And when we started the rhythm, the first people that came to it were the kids. They were the ones that picked up the instruments and were the ones that were willing to just start the process. And within 15 minutes, we're watching people stop who are up above. This was actually a square that was recessed down into the middle of the plaza. So it was almost like stadium seats that were all stairs up to the top where the traffic was. And people were stopping up at the top, you know, watching them stop and pointing and then walking down. And pretty soon, within the 20 minutes, half an hour, we had this multi-generational just jam, and I'm walking around handing people instruments. first people were standing off, you know, and I'd bring an instrument and no, thank you. And by half an hour, I would just hand somebody an instrument and shake my head. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. And it just carried from there. What I also loved about it is I'm learning Spanish. And at that time, my Spanish was even, it's not that bad, that much better now. But I really did not have, you know, the capacity to facilitate this with any verbal language, and I didn't need it. It was just the body experience, the energetic, the music, the universal symbols. Yeah. Mm.
That's beautiful.
I feel like my volume is messed up right now.
I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Am I
able to hear you now? No, I'm hearing you just fine, actually.
Oh, great. That's helpful.
You're echoing. Solomon is echoing?
No, Jerry. James.
Did you see the little note from Danny that said maybe try putting your pods in?
Put my pods in. Matt told me to take the pods out.
We're experimenting.
I personally like the pods. Oh, I think they're okay now.
Okay.
Great. This is my happy dance. tell us the instruments that you're going to be bringing. Just give us a quick rundown of what you're going to be bringing to the Austin event.
Sure. So we'll have a number of djembes, which are the hourglass-shaped drum that's pretty ubiquitous. Djembes are all over the place these days. And then I'll bring shakers. I'll bring wood instruments, some frog scrapers. We'll have some boom whackers, those tall colored tubes.
Yes.
We'll have some jingle instruments because it's not a jam unless the tambourines show up, right? And what else? I think that'll be the primary combinations of those. And we'll get a chance also, since it'll probably be more of a jam experience, we'll get a chance to trade around instruments so we can hear things and experience things from different perspectives and bring our voice and our creativity in different ways. And then of course, because there's going to be young ones in the room who may want to explore that instrument, you know, we have an opportunity to do a little give and take and sharing in our community. So everybody gets to experience something that feels fulfilling to them. So we'll bring that into the mix as well.
How long have you been doing this work?
I have been, I studied education as my background. And so I've worked in, I think I've taught preschool all the way up to community college as an educator. Then I've spent my time in the field of organizational development as well as education. But my desire to work with young people has been something that's been present with me for a long time. But doing the specific work of interactive rhythm happened, oh goodness, that started happening back in my 20s, I think. I met someone who was a really wonderful drum teacher, and as an educator, anytime I learn something that's exciting, I wanna share it. And I wanna share it in such a way that others can bring their love to it. And so, yeah, I've been doing this since, I think my early 20s.
Wow. So like 15 years.
Right.
Only
15 years. I'm going to be 52 this December.
Wow, really?
I realized today I'm 3 years away from being called a senior. I don't feel like that, but that's great.
Yeah, you don't look like that. You don't act like that. You just have such a great energy about you from the first time we chatted on the phone to the time we met at Casa de Luz and had a wonderful lunch in such a beautiful environment. And then here we are, and each and every time you show up with a smile and you show up with just such incredible energy. And I'm so grateful and so excited for our Fambundance community to experience the interactive drum experience with you. And
all the things you're going to bring to that that we can't talk about right now, because we don't even know what you're going to bring, because once you get there and you see the environment and you see the eyes and you see people's faces and you see the families, you'll shape it all, and the drums will just be a part of the experience, but really it'll be coming from you being present in that experience and listening to what it is that maybe we need at that exact moment in time. We're so grateful and appreciative that you're bringing your strengths and your talents and your gifts. Is it just going to be you, or are you going to bring a crew with you? How's that all going to work?
I'm going to, depending on the way it flows, I may have my family with me, but we haven't worked the schedule part out. Otherwise, it may just be myself.
Please bring your family.
Thank you.
Yeah, please bring your family for that evening on the, I believe we've got it on, do we have it on the 8th?
I have to check my calendar.
I have to check my schedule too. It's either the 7th or the 8th.
That's the one.
We know it's one of those two.
I know it's there. I know it's on there.
Well, Lindsay, you've been here and you've been in the lower left hand of my screen, and I can see you've been taking notes, or at least it looks like you've been taking notes. I'm curious if you have any questions or insights or anything you'd like to add or ask Solomon.
I love what you said about, you know, I become the person I practice being. And I just wanted to reiterate that point, that I think it's super powerful that when we practice becoming the person that we want to be, we become that person. So thank you for sharing that in such an eloquent way. Did you have a question?
I did. Solomon, I'd like to know, where did your sort of passion or your road turn towards this? When did you know this was what you were sort of called to do? Or when was a moment when something struck you from your work that really brought a new type of wisdom or perspective for your own life? So how has doing this work then changed you? So when was that point when you kind of said, hey, this is it? And what was that? And then at what point did you realize, like, okay, this is definitely the right path that I took, because you saw how it had impacted your own life?
Thank you. I was just jotting down to make sure I have all the pieces of the question there. So I'll check back in to see if I've answered it all. And please remind me of your name again.
Mike.
Mike.
Thank you, Mike. When you specify this work, the actual quote unquote work that I do is in numerous pockets. Was there a specific piece of work that you were referring to?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. I was distracted. Could you stop whistling, please, buddy? Sorry. I'm sorry. Can you repeat your question?
Which piece of the work are you referring to?
Just bringing people together and working on connection, you know, your main mission.
I think that my life... I was born in Jamaica, and I am from a biracial family. And to me, I think as I started to develop awareness of people and their differences, and the power that can come from people bridging those differences, I truly feel like I can think back to memories all the way back to elementary school, of feeling drawn, driven, pushed even, to help people connect when they seem to have some sense of, I don't agree with you, or we can't get along, that there's some part of me that has this innate, I don't know, desire to say, I bet we can find some way to find some kind of common ground. At a minimum, even if you don't end up agreeing, which is, as I mature, realize that, hey man, we're going to have people on the different ends of the spectrum. And it's not even necessarily about, I have to agree with you It is, though, how will we live together and how can we still connect? Because that, I feel, is always possible. As human beings, we have the capacity to do that kind of work if we're willing to do that. So I think just my family and then growing up in the culture of Jamaica, where there was just so much natural awareness of community, of connections, and quite frankly, of even knowing that somebody you just don't like, you're still going to look out for them. You're still going to have their back somehow. Those formative values that I saw being lived both in my family and my greater community were always in my field. And so when, as a young adult, I started meeting people who, that's what they did for a living. They brought people together through facilitation, whether that was through adventure learning. I always had a desire to support children and kids, and that always felt to me like, how can that, I support a young person in finding their own internal genius. As Buckminster Fuller says, we all have our own innate genius, and how can I help young people connect to that? And I just started, you know, through grace, I think I just got blessed to have mentors show up in the right place at the right time. And that was the work that they were doing. And it continued to just demonstrate to me, this is possible, man. This is what they're doing. This is how they're supporting people. And look at the meaningful experience that human beings are having out of that. And that was just enriching to me. So that, I think, was the inspiration of growing up, then meeting folks. And then continuing to see how it impacts people's lives when they feel that sense of connection. The new Google study around psychological safety, if we boil that down, it's really about how can I be myself and take some risks to show myself vulnerably and still be appreciated and accepted and heard and loved in the process. Those core elements of humanity, you know, maybe I'm just one of those people who will always be an optimist and believe that those things are our saviors. They're going to help us make it through some of these challenges that we're facing. I think I answered parts of the question. Did I catch all of it?
Yeah, absolutely. That was beautiful. And I guess a follow-up question would be, was there like one specific mentor that stands out as like, that really helped you? And, you know, what does it mean to be a good mentor? How did they help you to continue to get you to where you are today?
Beautiful question. There's not one particular mentor, but I will start off by saying that one of the healthy things of creating community is that as a parent, I can be a parent to my child, but it takes somebody else in the village to be a mentor because they can hear things from the auntie or the uncle that they can't hear from me without reacting, right? Like we kind of know each other's buttons in that way. And of course we're endeavoring to work that out. But yet healing can happen if an uncle talks to me as a parent or an uncle talks to my daughter as a parent. That conversation can happen. They can mentor in a way that I can't mentor. So I start off by saying that the beautiful thing was these people came from outside my family system, and I consider them family, soul family, but they weren't blood family in that way. And even so, they weren't part of my nuclear family, right? So I think that aunts and uncles can be really great mentors, and grandparents can be great mentors. So I'll name the folks in a moment, but what it takes to be a great mentor, I believe, are one, listening so that I really start to understand the essence of who this person is, so that my intention for them is truly to help them tap into their genius, is truly to help them stand in the light that they're shining and own that more. And simultaneously to help them understand how they can use that in a generative way in the rest of the community, I think a good mentor is also, sometimes people call it the dangerous friend. It's somebody who's willing to say those tough things, to hold me accountable when they can see that I'm not fully being in my integrity, or fully being accountable for the impact or the actions that I'm having. And that they have the skill and the capacity, or at least the willingness, to do so in the most loving, respectful way they can, but they don't shy away from it. You know, that they hold my feet to the fire, even though that's kind of a funny metaphor. Maybe I'll use a different one. Really just calling me out in a loving way, not with the come from of shaming me to do it right or guilting me to do it right, but with the come from of, I love you, I see who you are, and I know that this doesn't match up with that. So let's have that conversation. So I believe those are the qualities of a good mentor. And then, man, I've been lucky to have so many of them. And sometimes, you know, having that many people, you know, calling me out can be a little bit like, no, just go away, leave me alone. but they kept demonstrating the love, right? They kept saying, yeah, we know you're not liking me right now, but I love you. I love you. And this is why I'm saying it. So you may not want to talk to me for a couple of days, but I'm going to be checking back in with you. I know I'm not leaving your life. Because I know where you can reach, you know. And to name some of those folks, my goodness, let's see. I would start off with.
Can I challenge you to give us a name and, like, in a sentence, the one lesson or the one thing they taught you too? Or is that, it might be too much, but I thought I'd try.
Let's see. This is a good stretch. I'm trying to do this chronologically, but that's not working. So let me think of a lady named Gruffy Clough, who was one of the first people that was a facilitator, master facilitator. And one of the things that she taught me in a sentence was, you have to be willing to give your stuff away, because that's the intention behind it, is to support others. Diamond and River Jameson, in particular, Diamond Jameson stands out to me right now, gave me one of my life mantras, which is, I exist, I'm valid, I'm enough. Man, I think of, in this moment, Joe Dispenza. Never even met him in person. Consider him a mentor, because his work teaches me that I don't have to be stuck in or a victim of my life experience as it has passed. And I can actually rewire not just my neurology, but my genetics. He's got science to prove this stuff. There's a lady named Vanessa Stone, who her wisdom to me was, live for the soul. Fire the marketplace, fire the world, and live for the soul. I think I'll stop there.
Beautifully done. You rose to the challenge and you conquered it. That was amazing. Thank you.
I can't wait to spend some time with you in Austin, Texas, man. This is going to be just this call. I feel inside of my, maybe it's because I'm so close to you in Austin right now, but I'm sure that Mike and his family can feel it, and they're in Colorado. But there's an energy that it comes through you on the phone that I can feel inside of me that is inspiring me to just be inspired, to want to be more for the world. So thank you so much for the way you've showed up on this call. And I want to honor Mike for those great questions. Buddy, that was like, what a gift that was I'm sure for Solomon to go through that process and think about those people and to think about how to sum it up in just those little bite size. And as he summed it up in the bite size, I could see my own mentors. I don't know about you, buddy, but I could see my own mentors and the one thing that they've given to me. And he said something right before about, like, seeing people's, a great mentor is someone that can help a person step into their genius. And he didn't say it this way, but help them shine. And I thought of you, Mike, because of that being your mantra for the year is, helping people that you see the genius inside of them to shine. And I, and how he said that, and I was like, how could, you know, this is just so beautiful.
How about how he quoted the Google study that our mentor tried to say was his study. No, I'm kidding. But he didn't credit to Google like you did, Solomon. So, and that's also a very beautiful thing about inclusion and being your fully yourself and being safe at the same time. I love that. It's a great thing. Yeah.
Well, we're at the hour mark, and we're going to see you in about, let's see, it's the 20th today, so we basically got like 6 weeks. We're going to see you in 6 weeks live in person at the Austin, the Lakeway Resort and Spa out on Lake Travis. You're going to be there along with a whole bunch of other incredible influencers and contributors to that event. We've got Jay and Wendy Papazon. Jay is the co-author of The One Thing. Written Ray Keller. It's one of the top business books in the world, or has been for the last 5-6 years. We have him and his family coming. We have Matt Boudreaux, who has opened an Acton Academy and has a very successful franchise of Acton Academies in Northern California, and also travels all over the world giving messages of different types. But one of his key messages, which also reflects some of the Acton model, is the hero's journey and how we're all on our own hero's journey. And what I love about what you said about helping to find that beauty inside of another person, the strength, the genius inside of another person, and help them bring it forward, is you've had that experience in yourself of what it means for someone else to bring that forward in you, like your mentors, and you're kind of bringing the elixir back to the community and looking for people to help go through that hero's journey, because we need more people at the end of that journey bringing our elixirs and our healing to the world more than ever before. So we've got Matt Boudreaux coming in. We've got Diego Corzo, we got a jam-packed lineup of amazing influencers and insight givers, contributors. We're going to focus on family values, family superpowers, connecting around individual family goals and collective family goals. And we've got zip lining, water course, boats going out on the lake. We've got pontoons with water slides and life jackets and kayaks. It's going to be awesome. It is going to be awesome. We're so excited for you and hopefully your family to join us. And August 6th through the 9th, that's where we'll be. We'll be at Austin. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep saying Austin. Lakeway Resort and Spa. And see, how do we want to finish this call off? How should we finish the call? What do you think? Oh, I know. One is a call to action. If you haven't signed up for the Austin Summer Retreat and you're listening to this call, you probably just got sold by Solomon, because getting your kids around someone like Solomon Masala for 90 minutes to 2 hours of him being there, loading in his drums, putting us through the experience and giving away high fives and hugs and insight, just that is a huge value for our family. So we're super, super excited. And does anyone else want to add anything before we jump off this call? I'd love for someone else to have the last word.
Let's all have one last word. Let's all share one word about how Solomon made us feel, or what we see as a strength in him. And I'll kick us off with two words, though. Pure joy. I'll leave it at that.
Infectious smile.
Yeah. Lynn?
Gosh, I hate putting put on the spot.
Okay, if someone buy her some time, Matt, Dan, Samantha.
My word is excited for Austin, for the Austin event.
Emmy, one word.
I would say insightful. Ooh, thank you for
insightful. Ty, you got a word?
Fun games.
Fun games.
Fun games. Nice pickup, Ty. Yep.
Ty's excited for the game.
Danny, Samantha, do we have a word?
Danny, get our word in the chat. It was authentic.
My word is affirmed. I really like what you shared about those three words. I forget them specifically. That was great. Thank you.
Thanks, Solomon. Amazing.
Thank you all.
Solomon, thank you so much.
Pleasure to be
Can't
here.
Can't wait to see you.
looking forward to meeting you all in person. Thank you. Safe travels and a beautiful summer until we connect.
Awesome. Everyone, make it a great day. We're going to cut the recording off right...